I'm the sad remains of what I used to be, basically.
The sad remains of what you used to be.
Yeah, because I was used to train like 5-6 hours a day.
This is the voice and music of Antonio Sanchez. Welcome to The Checkout, also a podcast from WBGO. I'm Simon Rettner. When Antonio Sanchez was growing up in Mexico City, training to become a world-class drummer, he was also a world-class junior gymnast.
Landing on my head, you know, hundreds of times, and landing on my rear hundreds of times. You know, it's just part of the life of the gymnast to be injured all the time.
He'll tell us more about being ranked as one of the best junior gymnasts in Mexico and how that both ruined his body as a kid and endowed him with the incredible form and posture you see today when he performs behind the drum kit. Plus, Antonio has a few recordings out that you should know about: the Meridian Suite and 3x3. Oh, and yeah, there's that multi-Oscar award-winning movie he scored the music to, Birdman. You know, that one starring Michael Keaton. He'll talk about that and much, much more on this edition of The Checkout. Thanks for checking in. So, Antonio Sanchez, you're telling me that you were multi-talented when you were young?
Well, I don't know if I would call it that, but I was a gymnast for a little while, and I was actually in the national team.
So, in Mexico City, you were good at the rings, or...?
No, my best event was floor exercise, actually. I was second place nationally in the junior category.
Second place naturally, the junior category. Yeah,
in Mexico. And then I retired when I moved up here, actually, to Boston in 1993.
At Berklee College of Music.
Yeah. But that's why my back is a little messed up.
What did you do to your back? Was there a particular routine that you did?
It was just a million different little injuries and, you know, landing on my head, you know, hundreds of times, and landing on my rear hundreds of times. You know, it's just part of the life of the gymnast to be injured all the time. And if you see like, you know, the Olympics or something, if you look closely, all those guys have scars on their backs. Usually they all have to have surgery at some point
because they crushed their vertebrae or something.
Yeah, I mean, gymnastics is based on completely unnatural movement of your body. You know, your body's not designed to do any of that stuff. And you were doing it 5 hours a day. So, you know, obviously it's going to take a toll.
There's a lot of controversy with women going into gymnastics prematurely, kind of like ballet, because it messes up your body before it's fully developed. Sure. Did that same sort of thing happen to you?
Not so much, because when the guys reach their peak strength-wise, it's a little later. So... girls are retiring when they're like 17, 18. You know, they're old. Guys reach their peak usually around 22, 23, I think. But usually it doesn't have... I've seen a lot of girls that train really hard and they're incredibly skinny and their bodies get really weird. And then when they stop doing gymnastics, they blow up. I mean, their body just doesn't know what to do. And it's kind of sad to see. And then the guys are just, you know, a mess.
Like what?
Yeah, I mean, your ankles hurt, your knees hurt. I mean, everybody has knee surgery, a lot of wrist surgery, a lot of elbow surgery. I mean, joints, basically. You're completely messed up for a long time. So I have two herniated discs. I have a compressed disc. My knees, I mean, I feel like I'm going to have surgery at some point. One of my ankles is so noisy, I can wake my wife up, you know, in the middle of the night, you know, that kind of stuff.
Just walk into the house.
Well, sometimes, you know, it's weird. You know, sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not there. But when it's there, it's scary how loud it is.
It's like a rim shot or a hit on the sticks.
Yeah, it's like a clave sound, kind of.
Talking to the drummer composer Antonio Sanchez here on the Checkout from WBGO. He has a whole lot of things to celebrate. You may know the film Birdman. It won Best Picture, Best Director, Best Original Screenplay, Best Cinematography for the Oscars. However, that same organization disqualified the drummer for his score, which is really featured as one of the major characters in the film. However, there is justice in this world. There is retribution as well. The Grammys gave you the award for Best Original Soundtrack. Antonio Sanchez has won. So congratulations to you.
Thank you. That was really, really exciting. You know, because during the whole awards season, which, you know, I got nominated for the Golden Globe, then I got disqualified, like you said, for the Oscars. I won the Critics' Choice. I won the Hollywood Music and Media Awards. So the trend that I could see was that the big shows like the Golden Globes, the Oscars, you know, like the Golden Globes, they nominated it, but when it was time to actually give the award, they were a little afraid, I think, because it was too different. And so I thought maybe it was going to be the same thing with the Grammys. Like, yeah, this is so different, it's so cool, let's nominate it, but let's give it to, you know, somebody that wrote an orchestral score. And luckily that wasn't the case.
Well, I mean, in the Oscars' defense, maybe that was the reasoning. It was just so unorthodox to hear a solo drum score in a film.
I wouldn't call that defense, though.
No, of course not.
No, I think that's exactly the opposite. I think, you know, it's very backward thinking. You know, if you have something that has never been done that works so well and that everybody's praising, and I don't mean me, I mean just how the score worked with the movie, you know, because that's the
genius. It's sort of like the arrangement.
But that's the definition of a good score, you know, if it uplifts the movie without making it obvious, you know, because that's what really turns me off about a lot of scores, that they spoon feed you. Okay, you're supposed to be sad, so this is the minor strings right here, minor chords. And then now you're happy. So, okay, let's do a lot of, you know, bouncy major chords. You know, they just spoon feed you what you're supposed to be thinking and feeling at that moment. And that's what was so cool about the drum idea, that, you know, it's just, you know, there's no harmony really the way we experience it in movies. So, you know, it was more up for, the vibe was just so different.
So let's go with the drum idea. Whose idea was it?
It was Alejandro's, the director, completely. I mean, he called me, and right off the bat, he knew what he wanted, and he just asked me if I wanted to do it. And, of course, I said yes, and he sent me the script. I read the script. I didn't really get the script because it reads really weird.
Is that the version with Johnny Depp in it, too? Or the Johnny Depp character? The Johnny Depp ending?
The Johnny Depp ending? I don't know about that.
Well, there was an alternate ending. Well, the ending is so infamous. Sorry to interrupt you. We can talk about that later. But I want to ask your thoughts about the ending anyway. But there was an ending that included Johnny Depp, apparently, and the Pirates of Caribbean.
That was not in the script. Maybe if it would have been, I would have gotten the script. But no, it was, you know, I even told this to the writers later that I didn't really, you know, get the script very well. And they said, yeah, we know, it doesn't read well. You know, so because it's not like a book, it's not like they're telling you, they're giving you all the information necessary to put it in your head of how it's going to be in the end. And I'm not an expert at script writing, reading, I'm sorry. So there are a lot of holes that you need to fill with acting and directing and music. So it was hard for me to understand what really was going on in the film and what was the purpose of the film and what was going to be the vibe on screen. But then the process was really interesting because Alejandro and I got together in a studio in New York at Avatar Studios. I brought my drums and he explained all the scenes that needed drums in great detail. And we just worked off the script. And I would just improvise based on what he had just told me.
Was it always a quote-unquote big dream of yours to write music for movies?
Never in my horizon. Never something I look for, never interested. But since this was going to be all drums, then I thought, wow, that would be amazing. You know. And when I heard and I saw the movie for the first time in the movie theater, and it started, and the funny thing is that the first thing you hear in the film, right after the 20th Century Fox thing and then the Regency Films thing, is my voice in Spanish saying, "Alcancé a hacer eso, se oía," which means I was doing that. Did you hear it? Because we were in the studio, and I was just trying a bunch of different stuff, and he just kept it. You know, so that's what I love about him, that he's such a stickler for perfection, but he is such a loose guy at the same time. Okay, let's try that. Let's put that in. You know, so I didn't know they had done that. So I was in the movie theater and I heard my voice and then I started hearing my drums and quadraphonic sound and I'm like, wow, this is the coolest thing ever. Unbelievable.
speaking with Antonio Sanchez, and we're celebrating his Grammy Award-winning work on the film Birdman, starring Michael Keaton, Edward Norton, all these amazing performances, including by the drummer Antonio Sanchez. He also has two recordings we're going to be talking about, The Meridian Suite and 3x3 on Cam Jazz. I mentioned A Big Dream because that is a tune that you wrote with the trio comprised of the bassist Matt Brewer and pianist Brad Meldow. And let's listen to that.
Yeah. Actually, that tune I wrote for my wife. Yeah. I call her Big D because, you know, she's like my dream girl.
And who's your wife?
Tana Alexa, which happens to be an amazing singer, and she's all over the Meridian Suite, which I think we're going to hear.
Which we're going to hear a little bit later, yeah. Thank you. did working on these films change the way you compose? Because I feel like a lot of this music that you write has this very cinematic quality.
Well, especially the Meridian Suite, I think it got influenced by a few different factors that had to do with Birdman. One of them was the continuous shot concept, which as a suite, it has a continuous flow from beginning to end. And also, I wanted to really have the feeling of, okay, I'm home, and then I'm going to open the door and go out, get into a bunch of adventures, get into problems. You know, it's probably gonna rain, it's gonna be shiny, it's gonna be cool, it's gonna be cold, but then at the end I'm gonna come back home a different person. You know, I went through this amazing trip, but I'm home and I'm wiser now. That was the idea of the suite. So the recap of the theme at the end is it was very important to me. Like, okay, I want to ended exactly the same way I started it, but 56 minutes later, and a bunch of stuff happened in between. So that particular piece, I think, yes, it has a lot more of a cinematic quality to it.
Well, let's get right started with that, and grids and patterns.
Thank you.
speaking with Antonio Sanchez. The Meridian Suite features Seamus Blake, John Escrete, Dana, Alexa, and Adam Rogers as your one of your quintets. Well, I can really tell that you have listened to or were obsessed with Led Zeppelin in the past, and also you love just being washed over with sound with your experience in the movies. I mean, what you told me was when you watch Birdman, make sure to turn up the volume or put headphones on and get the whole full experience.
Oh, yeah. I'm a rocker at heart. So, I like listening to music at a highly, at a reasonably high volume, you know, because I feel like the experience is so much different, you know. And also playing with Pat Metheny for 15 years, we play loud, but then we play really soft as well. So that's one thing also that I've learned from him. He's such a master of dynamics, of the element of surprise, of balance, and a master of putting a show together too. So I've seen him obsessed for months until he gets the right set list, the right way, with the right lights, you know, and I've really, that has rubbed off on me in a very good way, I think.
And I'm assuming you saw Pat Metheny's big robot show, Orchestrion.
Yeah, I saw that, and it was amazing. I mean, like it or not, you have to give it up. Like, what he pulled off is just incredible.
I'm sitting here with Antonio Sanchez, the drummer and composer. He has a couple of records out, The Meridian Suite and 3x3. He also is the Grammy Award-winning composer for the film Birdman. I know the Unity Band did receive a Grammy.
Yeah, we won Grammy for Best Jazz Album in 2012. So, and I also got two other Grammys with him, with the Pat Metheny Group. That has been in a long hiatus, actually, since 2005. So we got a Grammy in 2002 for Speaking of Now, and then in 2005 for The Way Up.
Have you built a mantle to hold all of these trophies and decorations?
Well, we just moved to a new house, so we're in the process of building a bunch of stuff, so probably a mantle.
A trophy room? You're going to get a trophy room.
Actually, I got another Grammy with Michael Brecker with the second to last record he ever did, which was called Wide Angles. But it was called the Michael Brecker Quintet, which he always used to joke around that quintet meant 15 people in Latin, which of course it doesn't, but you know, he was a very funny guy. And but we actually didn't get a Grammy, like a physical Grammy for that. They just sent us a certificate because I think it cost a lot of money to give 15 Grammys, you know, to a big ensemble.
Really?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Well, take us to a track on that record. Do you have a memory of recording something with that?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the most amazing experiences for me because, really, I mean, after John Coltrane, there have been very few saxophone players that have revolutionized the instrument. And Michael Brecker was, of course, one of them. And to just be able to play with him and to record with him, while he was still alive, you know, it was a huge honor. And I just remember being in the studio and being in the booth right next to his booth, so I could see him, like, right next to me. And I just remember playing and just looking at him, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's Michael Brecker. You know, I was like a little kid, you know, just excited.
But you were a little kid, literally.
Well, I mean, I wasn't so little, but he was...
How old were you, though?
Back then, I was like in my early 30s, I think. But the thing is, you know, you got to remember, I came to the United States when I was 21, and I did not really play that much jazz. You know, I was into fusion, I was into rock. So it took me a while, while I was at Berkeley, to get my jazz chops together. And then immediately after I graduated is when I got the gig with Danilo Perez and Paquito Rivera. And then Pat discovered me in, what was it, like 2000? And then 2001, that's when I started working with him. And it's been an amazing relationship. I mean, we've been playing together for like 15 years now. So it's been very, very fruitful. And we're doing a lot of stuff this year again, which I'm really looking forward to.
Now, I imagine when you were a child, you probably had visions of being highly decorated, but as a gymnast, not as a musician.
No, I mean, the drumming thing was way before the gymnast thing. I started playing when I was five. So in my mind, I was always going to be a rock star because that's what I was into. You know, I was into The Police, Rush, Led Zeppelin, The Cream, The Who. You know, I had these visions of me and, you know, playing in a rock band in stadiums and stuff like that. I don't know what went wrong. It just completely went a different route.
So what did your parents think? They must have thought you were crazy, like a gymnast, drummer child. Like, who were you as a kid?
Oh, I was a little nuts when I was a kid. I had a vampire face where I would, you know, have like fake teeth and bite my mom when she was asleep. You know, and I was always dressed up as a vampire. But then I got into cowboy, so I had the vampire thing and a hat, a cowboy hat, and a gun. You know, I was all over the place for a while. But one element that always was there was drums. So I think that's what saved me from probably getting myself into a lot of trouble. Between drums and gymnastics, I was so busy that I was just, I didn't have any time to get into trouble. You know, I didn't drink, I didn't do any kind of substances, you know, because I was just, you know, busy all the time, either practicing, playing, or doing gymnastics. So that was great.
Or doing flips. You're either creating a whole lot of noise or almost breaking your neck. I'm sure your parents loved you.
Yeah, every time I would come back with a swollen foot the size of a tamale, they would be like, "Oh God, what do you do now?" You know, that kind of thing.
Well, Antonio Sanchez, this has been delightful spending some time. Right. So thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure, man.
That's drummer Antonio Sanchez featured on Michael Brecker's last recording, Wide Angles, his 15-piece band. And we thank Antonio Sanchez for joining us today to talk about Migration, the band that he will be presenting at the Newport Jazz Festival August 4th through the 6th. And why don't you come with us, WBGO? We are arranging a few buses coming from Newark, from Brooklyn, from Manhattan at Columbus Circle. You can go to all these places and then you can ride with us on the WBGO bus to the Newport Jazz Festival. Tickets and information at wbgo.org/events. That's wbgo.org/events. The Checkout, as you know, is also a podcast and you can subscribe to it on Stitcher and iTunes. We also have a Facebook page, The Checkout from WBGO, and also on Twitter, at Checkout Jazz. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Ratner. Thanks for checking us out.